Welcome to The Gauge, a new podcast brought to you by Green Gauge, the first fully integrated financial services group, bridging the traditional financial services space with the new digital innovations happening in crypto assets and blockchain. In this series, we gauge expert opinion on the latest tech trends and plan to bring you a measured approach to discussing key developments in the world of blockchain and digital assets.
Welcome back to another episode of The Gauge. I'm absolutely delighted to have Lord Chris Holmes with us for a second time. This is an honour to have you twice with us. You're our first guest coming on twice to discuss a topic of great interest for us all, which is AI. Lord Holmes, if I may, a warm welcome, but it'd be great to hear from you a little bit of your background. I know we've had you on episode 10 of The Gauge, so people can refer back to that. But just in a short description, who you are, what drives you would be really helpful.
Thank you very much indeed. And absolute pleasure to be back with you on The Gauge, very much so. I am in the House of Lords. I've been here for just over a decade. My main policy areas are all around talent and technology, inclusion and innovation. I've done a number of select committee reports on those subjects, including AI and democracy and digital technologies, financial inclusion. Also did a report on my own steam on DLT. And really trying to thread together inclusion and innovation so we can get public good from all of these new technologies. Incredibly powerful technologies, but we need to ensure that we get public good, and having an inclusive by design approach seems to me one of the chief ways of achieving that.
Amazing. And as our listeners might recall, when we issued a digital parliamentarians report tracking how many times on record block crypto, etc., was mentioned in Parliament, Lord Holmes was absolutely the top of that list by a country mile. And a big thanks from the industry to you for that, for raising awareness.
No, not at all.
It's always a pleasure to see you banging the drum. And I think being at the fore of innovation, as you are in our industry, you're also looking to the future of AI. And I appreciate you've recently published a bill, the AI regulation bill. It'd be great to hear what's the driver for you to look into this space, and what's your passion for putting the bill to Parliament?
Everybody tuning in will be fully aware AI is seldom out of the headlines and the broadcast media. But when it comes to regulation and legislation in the UK, we are somewhat lacking. And I think it's time to act. It's time to lead. It's time to put our legislative stake in the ground to say this is how we believe we, as the UK, interconnected with the rest of the world, can best operate in this AI-enabled future. We have seen the EU AI Act come out earlier this year. We've seen the executive order in the United States. We have a unique opportunity in the UK to legislate in our great common law context, to put down a principles-based bill, which is agile, has the ability to adapt through precedent and case law, and has hope everybody would want to see those fundamental principles of transparency, accountability, inclusion, interoperability, assurance, ultimately to give us the best chance of enabling AI to be trustworthy and to enable all of us as citizens, as communities, as cities, as an interconnected country, to be very cognizant of the risks and how we need to address those, but to be really pro-innovation and look to seize all of the benefits, economic, social, psychological, for each and every citizen in the UK.
That's a fantastic backstory. Obviously one I think a lot of us can get behind. I'd love to maybe just ask you on process, perhaps for our international and even maybe the UK audience, what is it actually like to introduce a bill? How does it work?
Sure, and it's called a private member's bill, which sounds quite arcane parliamentary language, but in essence, it simply means that at the beginning of every session, each member of both the House of Commons and the House of Lords, of which I'm a member, which for our international tuners in, that's equivalent to the Senate. So it's the upper house in a two-house parliament. And you have an opportunity as a member to introduce a bill on whatever subject you like. It's got to be quite specific. It can't be a big general education bill or something. It's got to be specific to a point. But then you have to have the good luck to come in the top 25 in the ballot if you're going to have any chance of your private member's bill becoming into law. I was fortunate this session to come sixth. So I had first reading of my bill in November. That means it just gets presented to Parliament. Then on the 22nd of March at 10 a.m., please all tune into the Parliament channel, I'll have second reading. And that is the opportunity for the bill to have a thorough, full parliamentary debate to go through all of its clauses and all of its implications. Subsequent to that, committee and report stage, that's where other members can bring in potential amendments, changes to improve, to take bits out of the bill, to put things forward to me, to potentially change and compromise. Then third reading. Then it goes through all of those stages in the House of Commons. It then goes to the palace, to the king, to be signed into statute. That's the aim very much at this stage.
Thank you very much. Most interesting also to actually read the bill. I had the good fortune to dig into it. And it's quite short. I thought the principles-based comment you made earlier kind of reflects in the text itself.
I'm glad you say that and reflect that back to me. I was certainly aiming at that. I wanted to get in as much as I could, but in a concise, coherent, and focused manner. So very much in the first clause of the bill to set out a number of those key principles, those key criteria that people should always be able to expect from their technologies and in many ways from their legislation. It seems to me that all legislation should be very clear that it is focused on inclusive by design, that in whatever sphere or sector it's in, the interoperability has been thought about, that there's an international focus. All of these elements seem the best way to bring about engagement with the legislation and then engagement with the opportunities that it brings forward, and to have all of it predicated on the ethical development and deployment of AI seems a real opportunity for the UK to be very much rooted in that sort of tradition.
It's very succinct, and that approach resonates obviously with me, but hopefully with a more layman audience. I think it's such an important topic for us all to get our heads around. One point that I appreciated in the draft bill was the idea of an AI authority, essentially a regulator being set up. I'd be keen if you could maybe give some color to that in terms of how that would be constituted, some ideas. I appreciate the principles were set out in the bill, but perhaps not the meat of how that might look and be constituted.
Certainly. And at the moment, the government's position is that all existing regulators will take on the responsibility for AI. And it seems to me that if we're going to take an approach which is consistent with how we've gone about regulation in the past, we should have an independent AI authority. Not to be a do-it-all AI regulator, not by any means, that wouldn't be desirable at all, but to be agile, nimble, and right-sized and horizontally focused. So it would be the AI authority that in the first instance would look across all of our existing regulators, not least our economic regulators, to assess their competency, to address the risks and bring forward the opportunities for and from AI in their sectors. Similarly, for the AI authority to look at all relevant existing legislation to assess its competency to address the challenges and the opportunities that AI brings about. So very much a horizontal threading role, but critically important for it to be independent and set up as a regulator, rather than breaking that sort of well-formulated and well-thought-through approach to standing up our regulators, which has to be seen as pretty successful because of how many of our regulators are not just held in high esteem in the UK, but very much so from overseas as well.
It's actually a great dovetail to the next question. The The UK is known for having quite strong regulations. It's almost referred to as a gold standard, particularly in financial services. Are there any good examples internationally for AI law or regulation we should be looking towards? You mentioned the European and the executive order in the US. Are these our benchmarks, or is there something else we can look to?
I think we have the great good fortune to not have to be first mover. So we're in a de-risked position. The EU got out the blocks first and have made a valiant attempt in their jurisdiction to put together an AI Act. It's 892 pages, and there are some good things in there. But they have to obviously legislate in their own terms. Whereas, because in the UK we have the great good fortune of common law, we can legislate in a less prescriptive, more principles-based manner. And the legislation then is in that common law context, able to adapt, able to change through case law, through legal precedent. So I think we have the opportunity to do something which is both differentiated from the EU and the United States, but interoperable regulatorily with what currently exists in the EU and what may come forward in the United States. And also, what an opportunity to bring the Commonwealth forward in an AI Commonwealth linked through common law, our traditions, our connections, in a really positive, future-facing manner.
I love that idea of the Commonwealth being a community of common law and language unite us to a large extent. But AI is, on one level, very monolithic. It's technology first, it's code. And the approach of a very pragmatic approach of common law and the principles-based, I think coming together with this technology is very interesting. Hence why I really appreciated what you've done with the bill being short form. I think it's only 6 pages, but it captures the salient measures.
You make a really good point with the Commonwealth, that sense of, if we get this right, we'll have common language, which is very much a code. We'll have the common law legal connection, and through this legislation, which is the legal code. And it's all about then how that feeds into the technology, which is, in essence, that third golden thread. We get those three codes all stranded together. That could be a really powerful force and be so positive in a connective way, rather than so many of the forces that are out there, both in geopolitics and technology, are, shall we say, somewhat less truly connective.
It takes dialogue and people to bring these things together. So again, why I think what you're doing is most welcome. One of the things, maybe just to open up the discussion slightly, is this idea of the fourth industrial revolution being a topic that's been raised, is the amalgam of these different trends and technologies to shape the future. AI is one of them, obviously, is a constituent part, but so is the common theme for the gauge of crypto blockchain. I'd love to hear your thoughts on how these two pillars, if you will, of the fourth industrial revolution can work together.
Yeah, and I think you put it right. Working together is when we get the most power from them, when we see them in combination, in concert. And just looking at the legislative pathway, we can see how there are reasons to be very positive about what we can achieve. If we look to last year's Electronic Trade Documents Act, how was that enabled? It was enabled because of blockchain technology. So in simple terms, to be able to take a paper trade document and now be able to hold it in electronic form, not just making trade more efficient, but driving increased trade, driving a market in those negotiable instruments of themselves, all growth generating, growth creating because of blockchain. But I rightly describe the bill both in terms of one of the most important laws you've never heard of, and also the blockchain bill that never mentions blockchain. And quite rightly, it doesn't mention blockchain because it doesn't need to, and it would be muddying the waters if it did, because though it's blockchain which enables electronic trade documents right now, for certain there will be a myriad of new technologies which come along which could also enable electronic trade documents. So the bill is criteria based, setting out where and how the technology needs to meet those criteria to enable electronic trade document, which both enables it to be technology neutral and technology future proofed. It's similar to the approach that I'm taking in the AI regulation bill. And the third piece of this conversation is really pushing to try and get another neat little bill through this session, which would be taking the Law Commission's work on digital assets and putting a little bill together on that to have that much more clearly set out. It would be a simple, straightforward bill, but incredibly effective for all the positive things that so many people are trying to lead in this crypto space, which gets much maligned. And yet, of itself, it is neither positive nor negative. It's only ever the purpose that we as humans choose to put these technologies to.
Beautifully put. I'd love to hear if you have any closing thoughts or things that you think I should have asked you.
I think what I'd say to everybody is, again, please do be in touch. I value everyone's comments, thoughts, ideas in this space. Rightly, as you say, let's not call it blockchain, IoT, DLT, AI. Let's call it the fourth industrial revolution, 4IR, 4.0. Such possibilities. Would really welcome everybody being in touch, really welcome everybody's wisdom. Hit me on LinkedIn at Lord Chris Holmes. And as ever, Sean, such a pleasure to sit down with you and really salute everything that you're doing with your business in this space and the speed that you have grown and make stuff happen, very much with that sense of understanding that one can drive an incredibly successful business, but do it in a way that is very, very human.
I'm most grateful for your comments, and I hope you have every success with the bill. I think you've had a bit of a successful run recently with the Financial Services Markets Act, the Electronic Trade Documents Act, and may the AI regulation bill also face very good scrutiny and discussion, but hopefully a productive outcome. So I'm really grateful again for your contributions, and thank you very much.
Very much appreciate your time. Thanks to everybody for listening. Look forward to hearing from all of you. Thank you very much.